Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost. We thank you that you are a present help. We thank you that you are a living God, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you never change, that you're consistent, you're faithful, you are our rock, and we can always rely on you. When everything else crumbles, when everything else fails, you are faithful and true. You are the same, and we thank you, God, for being that way and giving us that revelation by your Son, by your Word, by your Spirit. We love you so much, Lord. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would meet us this morning, that you would tear down any lies, tear down any deception, tear down anything, God, that's keeping us from the knowledge and revelation of your love, that's keeping us from the knowledge and revelation of the joy and the peace you offer us, of the reconciliation and redemption we have in you. May you be honored and glorified in our worship and praise this morning, God. Holy Spirit, we submit to you. We ask that you would have your way in our hearts and in our minds, have your way in our bodies, and may your will be done above all, for it is good and perfect. We love you so much, and we pray everything in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my heart, I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones. Just when I ran out,
up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Oh, move into communion with. And that's what we're going to do. But just before I have you be seated, just take a moment. Just simply say, Lord, may my heart be ready. Just say that with me. Lord, may my heart be ready. Go ahead and be seated, friends. It's good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Brad, if I haven't met you. As we move into communion, communion really is kind of a quality check, so to speak. It's an opportunity for us to go, wait a minute. The attitudes I expressed this week, the words I used, the things I posted on Facebook, my interactions, my reactions, did they all represent Jesus? The people that don't know me, is there enough evidence of Jesus in my life that they go, man, there's something different about you? What is that? How we spend our time, how we spend our money. Did it all reflect him? Rid me of myself. I belong to you. As we get ready to move into communion, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, that church really messed up communion badly. He said, let me help you understand what it's about. And he explains it to them. And communion, it certainly didn't look like a plastic cup with a, you know, a wafer in the bottom and a juice in the top. But in a moment, we'll open this up and we'll partake together. But it's an opportunity for us as we drink the little juice to remember his shed blood. As we open up the wafer on the bottom. As we do that, remember his broken body. He gave all. He gave all. That song quotes some words out of Philippians chapter 3. Where the Apostle Paul said, all that really matters to me is serving him. Let's just take a moment before we open the bread and then drink from the cup. Just ask yourself, Lord, show me if there are things in my life that I need to adjust, things I need to repent of, things I need to change. Things I need to add, things I need to delete. Let's do that. Do that with me right now. Father, this is an opportunity, as the Apostle Paul said, to examine our hearts. And so we examine our hearts right now. Lord, I pray, God, you don't come with condemnation, you come with conviction. And I pray that as the Spirit of God just moves in our hearts, that Lord, that we'll make the adjustments that we need to make. Not for religious purposes, but because we don't want anything between you and us. We don't want anything there. We want to live a life that is clearly obvious to everyone that Jesus means everything to us. Help us to do that, I pray. Amen, friends. Open the bottom where the bread is. It represents the broken body of Jesus. Take the little bread. Jesus was nailed to a cross for you and for me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life in exchange for mine. I should have paid the penalty for my own sin, but you paid it for me. You paid it for us. And in gratitude, take and eat, friends. Peel the cover back of the juice. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5 said, even for a good man, it would be few that would die for him. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here today and you've never met Jesus, He knows you by name. He's paid your penalty. He's just waiting for you to embrace Him, to ask Him to forgive you, and to step into the life that He has for you. And I hope you will. In gratitude that He gave His life in exchange for ours, take and drink. Just quietly right there, just simply say, Lord, thank you. Just express your gratitude to Him. We thank you. We thank you for your awesome goodness. Thank you for your great love. You didn't have to do this, but you did it out of love for us. Aren't you grateful, friends?
Yes.
Then stand with me, and we're going to sing one more song. Hallelujah. And let's just worship the Lord. The ushers will come and collect these little cups. But let's express our gratitude with worship.
life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. He really, Apostle Paul said, let's focus on the things that are unseen more than the things that are seen. And in the unseen, we are raised from the dead. If we are in Christ, brand new creation, alive from the dead. Let that be your reality today, that you've been raised by the power of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Join with me in prayer this morning for our children here in our state, in our country, around the world. Heavenly Father, we lift up the children unto you, God. And we know that there's a special place in your heart for the children, Lord. So we just ask that you would protect them. Protect them, Lord, by your spirit and by those who have your heart and your spirit. Protect the children. Provide for them, God. Clothe them, feed them. All around the world, everywhere, God, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you just do a special thing in the lives of these children, especially today, Lord. They need your hope. They need your love. They need your presence. So please protect them. Please show up. And please put a burden in our hearts, Lord, to pray for the children and to reach out to the children and go out of our way to be a light in their lives so that they can know your love and be raised in a hope that the world does not have. Help us to train them in love and not to burden them, not to harden their hearts, but gently with forgiveness and kindness, God. Thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege to pray for our children and to be an example in their lives. We love you so much. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much, God. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome to Seaport. What a beautiful day it is. What a beautiful morning it's been so far. If it's your first time here, we want to give you a warm welcome. You're our guest, so please let's clap for our first-time guests. It's so great to have you here. And if you're joining us online, welcome as well. We want to get connected with you, so the best way you can do that is to, and the quickest way probably, is just to text welcome to the number that's going to pop up on the screen behind me. You can also connect with us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, There's a bunch of different ways to get connected social media-wise. And then also, if you want to hit the QR code on the seat back in front of you, that's really easy to do that too. You can download our app and get connected with, it's the Church Center app, get connected with us that way. And then after the service today, Pastor Brad will be by the cafe, so if you want to get connected with him, he would love to speak with you. But I also have some opportunities that I want to share with everybody. So we're helping our boys become men in the Ranger Fest. We also, we can see an amazing spiritual impact in the lives of our children and our teens at summer camp. So we hope that you can get your children in summer camp. Right now, especially with everything going on, is the perfect time to learn how to manage your money. And Risha will be helping us with that in More Than Money. We also have an opportunity to change the world, if you didn't know. So if you want to change the world, and if you want to be changed, we have prayer meetings that would be so good for you to get connected with. And we also have a brand new Just for the Women's prayer meeting, and that'll be Thursday at 8 p.m. We have a young adults gathering that's coming up here soon in just a couple weeks. We're basically going to be getting together for fellowship, the word, but also just some hot dogs, burgers, and some cornhole. So it's just going to be a good time. So if you're between the ages of 18 and 29, please get connected. You can go to the Church Center app and register that way. It'll be at my house. My name's Rolando, by the way. And if you want to find your purpose, you can do so by signing up for Engage. And should everyone speak in tongues? And why or why not? We'll be looking at those questions on Wednesday with Pastor Brad in Speaking in Tongues, Part 2.
Thanks, Rolando. Appreciate that. Yeah, we kicked that series off Wednesday night, and we'll take it a little further, try to help you understand what in the world is that all about anyway. And we're just looking straight out of Scripture. So if you want to come, if you're the kind of person that likes to come prepared, read 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to walk you right through that and help you to understand what in the world is that all about, and is it for today? Just another quick announcement. We're going to do another water baptism, but it won't be here. It's going to be at Bluff Point at 2:15 today. And so Patrick Colosi is being water baptized today at 2:15. You just come in the parking lot. You'll see us. Join us if you'd like to do that. And so we're trusting that the rain will hold off. We can jump right in and do that. Also, starting in just a couple of weeks, we begin on Wednesday night after the Speaking in Tongues series, begin another series called Love Your Neighbor. Love your neighbor. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk you through a whole series, and you'll see all those topics behind me in that word cloud. We'll probably cover most, maybe not all, but most of those. And we're going to equip you not only to understand them, but how to minister very simply to people that are grappling with those issues, because that's my job, is to equip you for ministry. My job is not to get you to come to a building. My job is to equip you for ministry, right?
Amen.
Some of you are hearing that as a radical concept, but that's what it says in Ephesians 4. That's my job, to equip you for ministry. And we're going to do that with this book, The Christian Worker's Handbook. Look at that thing. This will give you insight into all these topics and ways to respond very simply, not complex, very simply. And it will teach you and help you to do that, because we want you to be effective in ministering to people. Amen? This book is $15, but today it's a flash sale, 10 bucks. Today only. Wednesday is back at 15. So it's today only, 10 bucks. Got 30 copies. That's it. And so you'll have to, if you don't get one today, or you don't get one, you'll have to go online and get it. So, as we're going to start that in a couple of weeks. I hope that you'll be part of that. So, a lot happening around here. You know, as we get ready to give to the Lord, you know what tithes and offerings means? It means I love my church. I love my church. I want my church to thrive. I want its ministries to thrive. I want to invest in something I believe in. That's what tithes and offerings means. Right? That's what it means. And so I'm so thankful for all of you that are faithful and diligent. I'm the guy that manages the budget, and along with some very, very astute help. But so thank you for just jumping in. And I've watched it for 33 years. People who are faithful to tithe and give offerings, I watch God bless their lives in so many ways. So be one of those, okay? So we're going to honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings around here. Okay, it's easy to do that. You can do it at the kiosks that are out there with an envelope. You can go online. You can go through the Church Center app. It's very simple to do that. You can use text to give. Lots of different ways to do that. And so I encourage you and thank you so much, for loving your church. Amen? And being saying, you know what? I'm committed to what God has called this church to do. So that's a very important part. And at the end of the service, too, we're going to have an opportunity, to invest in missions. And so that's going to come later at the end of the service, too. So be aware of that. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you. It's challenging. Lord, we watched gas go up to $5 and beyond. That's kind of unnerving. We're watching grocery prices go up like crazy. But you know what? You're still faithful. And Lord, we give in faith. God, we don't give in fear, we give in faith, and we trust you because you're the God who provides, and we look to you, and we trust you, and we thank you, God, for the privilege, because we know there's no way that we're going to outgive you, and there's no way you're going to stop being faithful to us. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to release our youth right now. They're going to slip out to their... meeting right now. All of our youth, middle school and high school, they can slip out right now with Chris. And I'm thrilled to introduce my friend to you. Judy Mensch is, you know, she was, her story is a remarkable one. Saved in New York City, came to know the Lord, and then went to then Zion Bible Institute, now North Point Bible College. And she, God's calling upon her life has been amazing to watch that and be part of it. She has ministered to children around the U.S., but in these most recent years, God has used her not only to teach at North Point Bible College, but to minister to kids on, I think, three different continents. Is it three different continents, Judy? I know you've been to Africa, South America, and it's actually four, right? Europe, obviously Europe, and, of course, here in the States. God has used her in remarkable ways, but now her life is undergoing yet one more change, and she's going to come and tell us about that. And so, Judy Mensch, great to have you here. Judy, by the way, was also the children's pastor at Seaport 20 years ago, plus. Woo.
Watch this change.
Yeah, it's on. You're on.
All right. We go from tall to short. Wait, can you see why? And I was going to apologize for sitting, but, you know, you're all sitting, so I don't care. You know. So, yeah, I'll try to face you, though. But seriously, regarding sitting, I do have to apologize. I have to be good to my back now, especially now just a few things have happened, and I just have to be a little more careful than I used to be. But I do feel like I'm at a restaurant, so if anybody could get me a medium rare steak, and no, I'm only kidding. But it's good to be here. Yep, I know some of you. There are a few faces that are familiar, but a lot of you are new here. Yes, I used to be the children's pastor when we were in, what was the building? It was in Mystic. Oh, yeah. We had three services. Remember that? Three services because the children's ministry, like, blew wide open. But a lot of that had to do with Ed Deline and Royal Rangers. You know, that really, it did. And some of it had to do with me. All right, so today I want to talk to you about children. That's the deal, okay? And I'm going to tell you three stories during this message because I am a storyteller. And I'm going to tell you three stories, three true stories. And that doesn't mean I tell untrue stories, but sometimes stories are not true stories, but have true meanings, like the parables of Jesus. Not necessarily true stories, but they have a true meaning for you. And so these three stories will have a true meaning for you also. My first story takes place in the 1800s. How many of you have heard of D.L. Moody? Raise your hand. Looks like about half of you. But D.L. Moody lived in the 1800s, and he was a preacher. He opened publishing companies, and he even started schools for boys and girls. But this story is about him preaching a revival service. So he was preaching a revival service, and he came home kind of late, and his wife Emma was already asleep in bed. So he got into bed, and he didn't mean to wake her, but, you know, it happens. So she rolled over sleepily and said to him, "How was the service? Did you have any converts tonight?" And he said, "Yes, there were 2.5 converts." And she waited a moment, and she thought, she says, "Oh, how sweet. How old was the child?" And he said, "No, there were 2 children who got saved and 1 adult, because a child has their whole life ahead of them, and an adult's life is half over." And so that's how I want you to think about, that was my preface story, to think about how important the work of children is. And so you know people, some of you work with children, some of you know other people that work with children, but working with children is really important. Now, you know, I really am just a storyteller, but to say I'm just a storyteller sounds like it's not that important. But the story that I tell is very important. The story that I tell to children. I love to tell it to anybody, but I love telling it to children the best. Because when children find out that Jesus is the Son of God and he could be their friend, they freak out. And so should you, if you think about it. Like, think about it. God's Son wants to become your friend and lead your life. I mean, that should freak you out. That should make you fall on the ground. Don't fall on the ground now, but because I'm talking. But it should make you really worship God. Like, can you believe that? Him and you. And when kids learn, they kind of really freak out. And you know what? I believe that telling children about Jesus is the most important job in the church. I'm not putting anybody down. The worship team is great. Debbie, you and the other people are so talented. And especially you, Debbie. No, the other people too. And I would never say that the pastor's job is not important. Heaven forbid. No. Or anybody in the church, the people at the welcome desk, the people back there doing the computer and sound, all is important. But the most important are the children. That's the most important ministry in the church. Now, I'm not telling you that because I'm biased or partial, but I am. But that's not why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you because children are so easily influenced. James 3:1. Now listen, if you ever wanted to become a teacher, you're going to run out of the room when I read this scripture. James 3:1 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brothers and sisters, because if you do, you will incur a stricter judgment from God. Doesn't that make you want to sign up? You will incur a stricter judgment from God because children are like little pieces of clay or wet cement, right? You can form it. And then it stays. So we better make sure that we tell the truth to children. Children need to know the truth. Children need to know they are loved. Children need our wisdom. You know, if I went down or back to children, I'm used to them being in a basement in other churches. But if I went back to the children's church today and I said to them, boys and girls, I'm your guest teacher today. And I want to tell you that there is new evidence that Jesus had three arms, not just two like us. He had a third arm sticking out of the middle of his chest. And that's the arm he used to heal people with. Really, he would like lay that hand on their eyes and they would see, or is their ears and they would hear, or lame people and they would walk. And that's it. And they would say, no, he only had two arms. And I would say, no, there were Dead Sea Scrolls found. And it says that he had three arms, one sticking right out of the middle of his chest. And they would say, really? And then you'd give him paper and crayons. They'd start drawing pictures of Jesus with a big arm coming out of the middle of his chest. And they would go home and say, Mom, Dad, guess what? Jesus had three arms. And Mom would say, no, he didn't. He didn't. He had two just like us. No. I'm telling you, my teacher told me. That's why James 3:1 says, let not many of you be teachers, because you will incur a stricter judgment. If you tell them some wacko news, some wacko scripture that you just interpreted yourself through, you know, a spyglass, they'll believe it because you said it, because they are so easily influenced. So we need to tell them the truth, and we need to tell them positive things. They need our wisdom. They need our love. Story number two. I'm getting a little more modern. This one happened in 1918. True story. Herb Gilby lived in South Dakota. In 1918, that month, there was a big blizzard, big snow blizzard. And all Herb wanted to do was go inside, make a cup of hot cocoa, and sit on the couch in the warmth while it was snowing outside. But there was a knock on his door. It was his neighbor. His neighbor was a pharmacist. Oh, 1918 was the great pandemic, the Spanish flu. So this man, the neighbor, was a pharmacist, had his work cut out for him. And so Herb opens the door, tells him, come in, come in. It's cold, it's snowing. And he looks terrible. He takes off his hat and scarf, and he looks even worse. And Herb said, are you okay? And the man said, yes, it's not me. I'm fine. I'm just exhausted. But my son Pinky, that was the nickname for his little seven-year-old boy, but Pinky has the flu, and it's turned into pneumonia. And Herb said, is there anything I can do? And the man said, well, there's this new medicine that they've discovered that's really supposed to help, but we don't have any here in South Dakota. But in Minnesota, there's a supply house, and it's 250 miles away. And Herb was already regretting saying, what can I do? But the man said, could you go and get this medicine? I can't leave. And he thought for a second, then he said, I have to help Pinky. I have to do something good for Pinky. He had a Model T Ford. There were not many highways back then, a lot of dirt roads, and there was a blizzard, and it was 250 miles away. He couldn't drive more than 35 miles an hour. And it took him all night. He got there in the morning, found the supply house, bought the medicine, and turned around and came right back, driving through the blizzard again. He gave the medicine to his neighbor, who gave it to Pinky. Now, Herb, the man who went to get the medicine, he died a few years later, but Pinky lived. That would be a terrible story if I told you Pinky died. But no, Pinky lived from taking the medicine. He was 7 at the time. By the time he was 10, Herb had died. So Herb didn't know what happened to Pinky. When he got older, Pinky, he started using his real name, Hubert Humphrey, who became a senator in Minnesota and then our 33rd vice president of the United States. One good deed, one good word, one positive thing that you do for a child can change the trajectory of his or her life. One thing, just the same as one bad word could change the trajectory. And I know that not because I am a prophet, but so many of you, not so many of you, some of you are in therapy today because of those bad words that were told to you when you were a child. You're worthless. You'll never make anything of yourself. You can't do it. Why can't you be like your brother? All those words also change the trajectory of a child's life. But one divine moment, one divine thing can change the course of a kid's life that it did to Pinky. And I feel funny calling him Pinky, but that's okay. That's what we called him. Now, I'd like to read to you, you know, children are so impressionable. I'd like to read to you Matthew 9:37 and 38. You've heard this before, usually when we need workers in the church. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Now, I would like you to picture the harvest. I'm not talking about a harvest of wheat or corn. I want you to picture a harvest of people, the harvest field of people that are ready to know Jesus. So just close your eyes for like a few seconds. This isn't a trick. Okay? I'm not, you hang on to your watches. I'm not going to steal them. Close your eyes and picture the people in the harvest field. Picture maybe your relatives, maybe strangers that you don't even know, maybe drug addicts, maybe your neighbors. You have a picture of these people? Are you seeing faces? Okay, open your eyes. How many of you pictured people you don't know? Just a field of people. How many of you pictured relatives or friends? Okay. How many of you pictured people who are really in trouble, like criminals or drug addicts? Okay. Now, I want to tell you something. If you did not picture that half of the field were children, you pictured it incorrectly. Because right now in 2022, 50% of the world are under 14 years old. That's the harvest field. That is the harvest field. And children are rarely given a place in society that they deserve. And I'm talking about America. In developing nations, it's even worse. Poverty kills the children first. And 55% of all children who die, die of starvation. And did you know that in the last two decades, including this terrible war between Russia and Ukraine, that more children died than soldiers? In the last two decades, more children died than soldiers. And that's not only the abuses of children. Let's take pornography. Bad enough, but child pornography, I don't think you could go any lower than that. Prostitution is legal in so many of the countries. And who's taken first? Who's stolen first in sex trafficking? Children. There are a high price to pay for children. And that's for what? For money and for pleasure. And these are our children. Children are vulnerable in our society, and they can't stand up for themselves. They can't sign petitions or protest what's going on around the world because they're children. They cannot vote or get involved in politics or have a voice in global affairs. They cannot advocate for themselves. They cannot make up think tanks. And they can't wield much influence in any direction. Children cannot study the effects of poverty or abuse. They're children. They have no voice. You know, the Great Commission, which is our motivation, especially missionaries, to go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Disciple people in all nations. That's the Great Commission. But regarding children, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. We have forgotten about the children. And you know, children's ministry was never really thought of very highly around the world. In America, maybe, but not so much around the world. But even here, you know, when COVID hit, and if it was in bad shape before COVID, COVID put the nails in the coffin of children's ministry. Tell me this wasn't true here. Children's ministry was the first thing to go during COVID. I've been in the United States for a few years now. 2 years I was up in Massachusetts after I came back from the Netherlands. I lived there for 14 years. I was a missionary there for 14 years. 2 years I was up teaching at North Point, and the next 2 years I moved, during COVID, I moved down to New York, where I live now, because I was supposed to take teams back and forth to Eastern Europe to do teacher training and children's outreaches. So while I was living in New York, I was going to a church in Connecticut, because I was near the border, you know? So I was going to that church, a big church, fairly big church, and first thing they cut was children's ministry. When I started going to the church, children's ministry was back in operation. But then you know how the governor, I mean, you're in Connecticut too, the governor, it was very fluid, right? All the rules kept changing, and you had to go by what the protocol was and what month it was. So at one time when I was going to that church, it changed to numbers again. And because it was a fairly large church, they had to stop children's ministry again so they could have 65 more seats for the adults. Killed me. It crushed me. I said, let the adults stay home. Bring the kids. Let all the adults stay home and bring all the kids. Because they need to know the gospel. They need to know the truth. They need to know that Jesus loves them. They need to know there's a plan for their lives. The children need to know. But yeah, we need 65 more seats for adults. So there goes children's ministry. And what were they going to do? Rise up and go to church anyway? No, they were children. They could never do that. And a lot of churches had nothing online for kids, too. Some did. I don't know if yours did. I think you did. Yes, okay, which I'm very happy about. Now, the children have, there's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of children. There are voices shouting to them from the world. And mostly it's bad things like drugs and alcohol, but some of them are good things, but not good for them. Like, you know, good careers, big houses, nice cars, a lot of money. Nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't mind having a lot of money myself one day. But it's not what Jesus is calling the children to. He's calling the children to himself. And you know what? Finances don't have much to do with that. He'll take care of us. I'm not saying that he won't. But those good things of the world are not good things in Christ, necessarily. They could be if, you know, like a I never thought it was a sin to have a lot of money. I've always thought it was a sin to keep a lot of money. I did. You know, I think that you should give it away. And we'll be getting to that in a few moments. Because I'm allowed to talk about money. But I want to tell you that Seaport Community Church must be the loudest voice that calls to the children. Okay, yeah. Right. Must be the loudest voice that says, God is the most important thing in your life. God has a plan for you. God will guide you. He's before you. He's behind you. He's on either side of you. And he makes the way. Just follow him. That's what the children have to hear. Now, that's what my heart's cry is for Europe. Not just Europe, for America too, and the whole world. But because I lived in Europe, my heart was softened for Eastern Europe. My goodness, they're not long out of communism, you know, and they really need Jesus. So as I told you before, I was going to go with teams of people from America back and forth to Eastern Europe to do teacher trainings and children's outreaches. And then people started saying to me, after Putin started this war, how does this affect your ministry? And I said, I don't know. I don't know how it'll affect my ministry. And so I figured I better find out how it will affect my ministry. So I started praying and thinking. And I said, you know what? I don't really think there's a big need for teacher training right now. I think there's a big need to help Ukrainian children. And so I thought, I have an idea. How about we start these art and drama centers for the Ukrainian refugee children, like therapeutic centers? I'm not a therapist, so it would be lay therapy, but using art and drama to learn about Jesus and to give them hope and light for the future. And not only that, but even let them escape what's happening. There are so many children in Poland and Romania that those are the two places I'm going to concentrate on. So here's what's happening. In August, I'm going to be moving to Spain. Spain is a practical place for me to live for various reasons. But from there, I will be taking small teams from America. Oh, yeah, you're an American, so it might be you. Taking small teams to America to start these art centers, art and drama centers. I would like to bring over $10,000 for each, with 10,000 euro, which is a little bit more than $10,000. 10,000 euro to make these sustainable. We will train volunteer workers in Poland and in Romania, and those centers will continue. I have the blessing and the backing of the Assemblies of God World Missions, so they have given me a lot of people resources. They haven't given me a lot of money resources, but, you know, I'm really okay with that. And so that's what's going to be happening. So I need you. Some of you, it might be clicking with you right now. I could go. Here's the thing. If you speak Ukrainian or Russian, you're in. Okay? You're coming. All right? If you have anything, know anything about art therapy or drama therapy, you're in. Or if you have a love for children and want to see them know Jesus and follow Jesus, you're in. Okay? And so I don't know what the cost is going to be, but I will, you'll keep in touch with me. I have cards out there that you could take with my email address on them. I'm also selling books, by the way. I should have mentioned, I do my commercials at the beginning, but I forgot. I'm selling two books. My friend wrote them. She's a teacher at Valley Forge, the University of Valley Forge. And half the proceeds go to my ministry. So there's one book for teenagers and one book for children. And they're great books. We can talk about it out there. But that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'm moving, Lord willing, and my visa comes through and all the paperwork. It's such a big thing. But August 18th is when I'd like to buy my plane ticket and then leave for Spain. And then if you're part of the team, what you'll do is you'll fly to, well, we will have talked over Zoom prior to that. But when you come, you fly to Madrid. Oh, that's a shame, huh? You fly to Madrid. You stay with me for like 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks. Stay with me for 2 days. And then we fly over to Eastern Europe. And then it's about a 10-day trip altogether from here till you come back. So it's not impossible. It's kind of cool. Now, I'm going to use a phrase right now that has been overused and even abused, but it's an old African adage. It takes a village to raise a child. Now, it's mostly your parents that are here. It's your responsibility. But the church is the village. You here at Seaport are the village people. No, you're not the village people. You're the village, comma, people. But this place is the village. You help raise the children. And it's not just those that work in children's ministry, which I want you to, but it's everybody in the church. You have my permission to say, stop running, or don't talk to that child that way. You should have seen the problems I had in Holland. They were wild there. But You know, we are the village. We must teach the children. We must be examples to the children. And, you know, I don't know how much of your church's budget goes to children's ministry. I don't know if I want to know. I don't know how much money, your missions money, goes to people who minister to children. I know you've supported me for a long time, and thank you very much. I really appreciate it. But now I'm looking for $200,000. I know I just blew you away. I'm not looking from it just from this church or one person. But if there is somebody like that that can do that, I'd be happy to take it. And let me tell you why I can ask for money. First, I'm a nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn. So it bothers me not to ask for money. Not one bit. I actually like it. Okay? Another reason, I don't need any money for myself. I'm cool. I have all the money I need to live in Spain, to pay my utilities, to buy food, to go to doctors. Got all that. So any money that you give is money that goes to the Ukrainian refugee children for art and drama supplies. I want you to know that I have already raised $40,000 of that, $200,000, which is not too shabby, but there's a little left. Here's my thinking. I'm going to be there 4 years. You know, I'm no spring chicken. You probably didn't know that, right? I'm 68 already. So what am I going to go? 4 years maybe? You know, that's what I'm thinking, 4 years. But who knows? If I'm healthy and I stay healthy, you know, I could be there longer. So let's say we open 5 centers a year. That's 20 centers. And if 20 centers got $10,000 each, that's where the figure comes from, the number comes from. That's what I'd like to leave them with so it would be sustainable. Now, I'm not taking an offering. Pastor Brad is. So I've said all I can about it. But I want to tell you one more thing, that Jesus loves the children. It's not just me that loves the children. And I really do love them. But I always also feel like I'm their advocate and I fight for them. Somebody wrote on Facebook, I responded to somebody's post about children, and I said a couple of things in there that, you know, more children die in wars than soldiers do. And so a friend wrote underneath that, yep, there's Judy, defender of children. And so I wrote back to him, I said, yes, that's my superpower. I'm a defender of children. That's how I feel. That's how I feel what I do. But Jesus didn't just defend the children. He loved and respected children. Remember when he told his disciples, don't stop the children from coming to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And then my favorite scripture, I give you 2 scriptures today that are really like hard scriptures. But my favorite scripture is Mark 9:42. If anyone causes any one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into a sea. Okay, a small millstone is about this wide and weighs 2,000 to 3,000 pounds. And Jesus said, a large millstone, if you cause a child to stumble, a large millstone should be tied around your neck and you should be thrown into the sea. That's what the mafia does. I mean, I think that's what, I don't have any experience with the mafia, but that's what I hear. But that was his warning, okay? And so we are the community that must raise the children. Now, it will only take a moment to change the trajectory of a child's life. Third story. Hey, Debbie, do you think you could play a little something soft on the piano in the background? Thank you. See, when you know the pianist, it's easy. You know, I didn't have to say, is there a piano player who could? No. So this is, again, a true story. And even sometimes I have to get up a little bit, you know. It's not good to sit a long time, not good to stand a long time. My back's a real trip. This is a story about a teacher named Miss Thompson. Miss Thompson was a fourth grade teacher. And every year at the beginning of the school year, she would say to her children, boys and girls, I love you all the same. I have no favorites. Which, you know, is not really true because teachers always have favorites. But what's worse is they always have kids that they just don't like. And Teddy Stollard was one of those kids. Teddy would come into school with like a glazed look over his eyes. His hair was always a mess. He was not dressed well. And he did really poorly in school. But Miss Thompson should have known better. She had Teddy's records. And they read like this. First grade. Teddy's mother is very ill, and the father is absent from the home. Not mean away from the home, but, you know, absent meaning doesn't do anything in the home. Teddy needs some extra help. Second grade, Teddy's mother is terminally ill, and Teddy's father started drinking. Teddy needs some extra help. Third grade, Teddy's mother died this year. And Teddy's father is not any help to him at all. Teddy needs extra help. So Miss Thompson should have known better. But instead, she got this perverse pleasure out of making X's next to the wrong answers on tests or putting a big F at the top of the page. And she was a believer. Miss Thompson was a believer. Now, the school year progressed. Teddy was not the only one doing poorly in school. There were some other students, too. And Miss Thompson felt about them the way she felt about Teddy. It was around Christmas now, and all the kids brought in little gifts for Miss Thompson, piled them on her desk, the way kids do. And she said, I'll open them a little bit later, and then we'll all leave for vacation when school's over, the Christmas break. So a little while later, she starts opening the gifts. Oh, and Teddy brought in a gift. His gift was not wrapped in pretty paper. His gift was wrapped in brown paper tied with a string. So Miss Thompson started opening the gifts, and all the kids were crowded around her table, and they were ooing and aahing. And then she came to Teddy's gift, and she pulled the string, and the paper opened, and out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume, and half the perfume was gone. And the kids were beginning to laugh, but Miss Thompson had enough sense to take the perfume, put a little bit on her wrist, and hold it up for the kids to smell. And they were, oh, so it stopped the laughter. School was over for that day. All the kids left, except Teddy was hanging around. And he walked up to Miss Thompson's desk and said quietly, Miss Thompson, Miss Thompson, I'm glad you liked my gifts, and my mother's bracelet looks beautiful on you, and now you smell just like her. Teddy went home. Miss Thompson went home, broken. She got down on her knees in her living room and said, God, make me a different kind of teacher. I do not want to be this way. I want to help kids like Teddy. Help me to do that. Make me different. Prayed through the vacation. 2.5 weeks later, it was like the kids were greeted by a new Miss Thompson. She was the same woman, but a different person. And she started helping Teddy. She would help him after class. She'd even go to his home. And you know, she did that with the other kids who were falling behind. And by the end of the year, Teddy had caught up to about the middle of the class in all his grades. And that was the end of fourth grade. She didn't hear from Teddy for quite a number of years later until he graduated high school. And she gets this letter, and it says, "Dear Miss Thompson, it's me, Teddy Stollard from the fourth grade. I'm not sure you remember me, but I just wanted to tell you that I graduated second in my class and I'm valedictorian of my high school. And I owe you the thanks because you invested in me in the fourth grade that changed the course of my life. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, she gets another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, hi, it's me again, Teddy Stollard from the fourth grade. I want you to know I graduated first from university, and I owe it all to you because of what you invested in me in the fourth grade. Love, Teddy Stollard." Then 4 years later, she gets another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, hi, it's me, Theodore Stollard, MD. I'm a doctor now. And Miss Thompson, I met a girl that I want to marry, and I want to invite you to the wedding, and I want you to sit where my mother would have sat if she were alive, because you deserve to sit there, because you did something in the fourth grade that changed the trajectory of my life. Love, Teddy Stollard." Miss Thompson went to the wedding, sat where the mother would have sat, and you know what? She deserved to sit there because she did something that changed the boy's life. Now, listen, I gave you a lot of information about children today, and I hope I moved you, but not just emotionally. I don't really care about moving people emotionally. Moving people only emotionally is like giving you $2 million and you burying it in your backyard. Technically, you're a millionaire, but what good does it do anybody? So emotionally, if it doesn't turn to action, does nothing. So I want to move you to action today. I can tell you what I'm doing with all this information. I'm going to live in Spain, go back and forth to Eastern Europe, and minister to those little displaced refugee Ukrainian children in camps, in homes, because I want to do something. I have to do something. What are you going to do? That's really my question. What are you going to do? I can tell you what you can do. First of all, and by no means the least, is you can pray for the children. Pray for the children in your church. Pray for the children in your schools that you have contact with. Pray for the children in your neighborhoods. Pray for the friends of your children, your grandchildren. Pray for the children. Pray for those that work in this church with children. They're our heroes. They have sacrificed something for kids to kick them, throw up on them. It's a sacrifice. So pray for those working with children. Third thing, you work with children. Sign up. Because you could do, you not only can you teach, I know James 3:1 scared you away from teaching, but there's other things you can do. Let's say you bring the snacks for the kids, or you're the supply coordinator, or maybe once a year you do big things like VBS or a gospel kids party. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds fun. You know, so maybe there's other things that you can do. I know Melissa told me about some of those things, and I forgot them. I didn't write them down. But there are other things you can do. So, on the screen, there it is. Text the word KIDS to that number, and a whole bunch of stuff will come up, and you can sign up to do something. And you know what? Texting kids doesn't mean you're on the list now. Doesn't mean you're signing up. It means you're ready to talk about it. And also, Melissa will be in the Narthex. You know I love that word. The Narthex lobby. After the service is over, and she can explain some of those things to you. Because we are the village, and we must work together. How will the children, where will the children play? How will they know? How will they know unless we tell them? Would you stand with me? I want to pray with you. And then Pastor Brad's going to come. And he's going to tell you how you can actually give to this. And I'll be out in the lobby. Oh, the Narthex, sorry. I'll be out in the Narthex with the books I'm selling, but also with my prayer cards. And if you are interested in coming on one of the 20 trips that will happen in the next 4 years, you'll talk to me and you'll get on some kind of a list with me, okay? But I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for the good men and women here at Seaport Community Church. And I thank you that they have a good and thriving children's ministry here. I really do thank you for that. But I ask right now that you would stir the hearts of the people to do something more than just think about children, that they would work with the children, that they would pray for the children, that they would come alongside the children and help them to grow in Christ. And Father, if it's your plan that they come with me on one of these trips, let that happen too. But Lord, I ask your blessing for all those who are new here, for all those who have been here a long time. I ask that you would use them and help them understand the plight of children, because children need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Just take it with you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We're going to, you can leave it right there, guys. Just leave it. It's fine. Yeah, just leave it. It's fine. We're going to receive an offering. 100% of what you give will go to this endeavor. And I know we've already given a substantial amount of money to Ukraine, but, you know, just, I want you to respond. I had a figure in my heart that I was going to give, and the Lord said, yeah, not good enough. And so I doubled what I intended to give. I encourage you. I'm going to pray right now that you hear and respond, and you do what the Lord tells you to do. Amen? And can you do that with me? Just say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And so let's just pray that way. And just be sensitive. Maybe the Lord will speak to you like he spoke to me and said, no, change that. And so let's pray together. Father, help us to give what you want us to give. Thanks so much. Help us to invest what you want us to invest. All for your glory, we pray. Amen. You know what? The band's going to, you know, there's ways to give up there. Probably the easiest way is right through the app. That's how I'm giving. But you know what? Why don't you stand with me? Judy's already slipped out, but we need to take a moment. And we need to pray. Let's pray for Judy. I mean, she's obviously dealing with, she's got some health challenges, right? She told you about those. And so let's pray that God gives her grace and strength and is able to help her carry out this vision. It's a big vision. I can't kid you. That's big. It's a big one. You ready to pray with me about that? And then we'll sing the song, and then we'll close right after that. And if you need prayer for any reason, there'll be a team up here that'll pray for you. Right after we sing the song and close out. And if you want to go support Patrick at 215 down at Bluff Point, you can do that too. Hallelujah. Father God, we lift our voices to you today. It's a privilege to be involved. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing here, God. Thank you for the work that you have done and are doing in children's ministries around here. It's thriving here, and we're thankful for that. Hallelujah. Lord, as we pray for Judy, that you give her health, that you give her strength, that you, God, as she travels and she ministers, that's not easy to do that. And it's remotely not glamorous. And Lord, I just pray that you strengthen her and empower her, expedite her efforts, help her to get to Spain and then carry out this vision. Lord, she's got a lot of support and she needs it. But Lord, I pray right now for a physical touch in her body, that she would have the strength and the ability to do what you've put in her heart and mind to do. And so God, help us. God, we pray every Wednesday night for our missionaries, and we're going to continue to do that. But I pray individually, Lord, almost every Wednesday morning, we pray for missionaries by name as well. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful to pray and support our missionaries. Thanks so much, Lord. Amen, friends.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, we'll sing this song, and then we'll close. Let's worship.
Pastor, I think that there's a special song that Judy has that she wants to play.
A special song she wants to play? She was just going to play it up there? All right, we'll play it.
Is that right, gentlemen?
It's fine building jumbo planes or taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want to if you want, as you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day, but tell me, where do the children play? Petrol gas, and you make them long, and you make them tough, but they just go on and on, and it seems that you can't get off. Oh, I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day, but tell me, where do the children play?
And that's where the title of today's message came from, is that song. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song together, and then we'll close. And after we sing this song, I know it's a little late, but if you need ministry, then we'll be here to pray with you. Let's sing, and then we'll close.
Storms made way for spring.
Amen. Amen. Just as I dismiss this, if you need prayer, come and receive that. Judy is out there. Let me just say this. In 2 weeks is the Royal Ranger Fest. That's our ministry to boys on Wednesday night. And we have, I think Matt told me, the largest group ever going to that. And that's quite a statement. Thank you, all of you leaders that work so diligently every Wednesday night to carry that out. And the last weekend, a very successful STARS retreat with our gals, too. So, hallelujah. So, thank God. Thank God. And thank all of you for investing and continue investing in kids. Lord, bless us now as we go. Thanks so much for this gathering, our chance to be together with you and with each other. Be glorified, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. You need prayer, receive it. Have a great day, 215 down Bluff Point. Hallelujah. God bless you.